anything that I said, I know wouldn't get out to anybody. Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast with me, Julia Davis.
And me, Tessa Venuti-Sanderson. We are the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
We would love for you to join us for free talks, question and answer sessions, all about the art of holding circle. You can find these at circleholding.org. This week, Tessa and I are going to be talking about listening skills and a technique called listening partnerships or shared listening. I think we've all had an experience or more than one experience of being felt like we haven't been listened to. I don't know whether you've ever sat in a group of people with friends in a cafe and found that you've been halfway through a sentence and somebody's already talking over you. That's certainly an experience that I've had. And maybe you've also had the experience of speaking over someone yourself. You've just felt like someone's saying something and you really, really need to talk. And before you know it, they haven't had the opportunity to finish their sentence and you've butted in. I've certainly been responsible for doing that as well.
You know, it's socially acceptable when you see somebody say, "How are you?" And then sometimes people don't actually listen to the answer and you're left feeling like your self-worth has gone downhill, because why ask the question if you're not going to listen? And what I've also noticed on social media recently, for example, in some local Facebook groups I'm in, is people saying, "I'm really lonely. I'm admitting I don't have any friends, or at least friends that hold the same interests as me. And I don't know how to meet people. I don't feel like anybody's listening to my experience."
Yeah, and I think it's quite a few years since COVID now, but I still think we're experiencing a little bit of the hangover from that. It was so isolating for so many of us, and those skills haven't come back as easily as we might have thought they would have. And what we would really love to do in this episode is give you a little bit of light and talk about ways in which we've really enjoyed learning to listen. And we're going to start that with a little bit of an explanation of shared listening or listening partnerships.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, before that, even thinking about what does good listening anyway look like? And for me, it's when I know somebody is completely listening to me rather than formulating what they're going to say back. Because otherwise you can see the cogs whirring in somebody's brain and their eyes are slightly misted over, or they're looking into the middle distance and they're having this internal dialogue about, "Oh, shall I bring that up or that? Or, oh yeah, that happened to me, but would it be too much to share that as well?" And all of that's going on and they're not listening to what you're saying. It's so frustrating. So I think what I really appreciate when somebody is doing good listening is that there's no agenda there where they want to take the conversation. I can't see any sign of cogs whirring in their brain. They are purely looking at me and I can see these sort of signs of, maybe it's eye contact, maybe they're nodding a little bit, or just in their body language, they're leaning towards you.
And yeah,
that encourages you to talk and it helps you feel like you've got something of worth to say. What does good listening look like to you, Julia?
I was really thinking about when we don't listen. So in an argument, I really feel as soon as voices are raised, no one's listening. And what good listening has taught me is to notice when that happens and to be much more likely to come away from that and know, okay, voices are louder. We need to do something about the loudness of the sound rather than even think about the words anymore, because no one's listening to any of the words anymore. And the same with evasiveness. So sometimes we think, okay, so everything's got too loud, I'm going to walk away from it. But people find someone walking away from them when they're talking almost as harmful as someone shouting at them. At least if someone's shouting at them, they've felt emotional enough to respond. And even though the safe option might be to walk away and not respond, it doesn't resolve things. So when we practice leaning in, looking at somebody, really, really choosing to hear their words, knowing that we're not needed to respond, we learn something about how we are outside of that context. And I think we're more likely to notice when communication isn't actually happening in a helpful way.
I think that's just coming up for me around good listening, is that sometimes there can be a tendency, and it comes from a really good place, for the listener to want to jump in and try and fix what the person's talking about. And although that might be seen as helpful, if the person who's talking hasn't had chance to fully say what their experience is, and it can feel like you're being cut off and actually not being listened to. So I think that's also something that is really a sign for me that, and it can come from a good place, but it's shutting down your full expression of what's happened and what it is that you're feeling.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking about the conversation I've just had with Andy about the different parts of ourselves that come up, like the inner child and the other kind of challenging personality traits that we bring up, that we bring with us. And when there's a space for deep listening, we're much more able to notice our tendencies than we are in a standard conversation. And it's not that standard conversations aren't lovely to have, but it's really valuable to have a framework in which we can practice our good listening skills.
Yeah, so let's go back to thinking about what a listening partnership is, or a shared listen, because that is a place where you can really practice good listening and good speaking. So do you want to give a little overview, Julia? Because we use this all the time in our circles. It's such a useful skill to have. And you can use it outside of circles as well.
Yeah. So 5 minutes, it seems to be a very easy starting point for a shared listen. And some people even find 5 minutes a bit of a stretch, but we like 5 minutes. And what would happen is that there would be two speakers. Often you need to choose who the first speaker is going to be. So something like saying whose name begins nearer the beginning of the alphabet can be a nice way to do that. And that person has the opportunity to speak. Often, if you're doing it for the first time, it's nice to have a theme of sorts so that they don't go, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But it might be what's coming up for you today. And that person speaks without any interruption for that 5 minutes. But the person listening can show that they're listening. They're going, mm-hmm, or using your body language to show that you're listening can be a really lovely way to show that you're listening to what the other person is saying. And there might be spaces in that 5 minutes. And if possible, allowing for that space to occur without worrying about having to fill it, so that the person speaking's got time to think about what they might want to say next. And that's something that can be very rare, is that you've actually got time to think and say a little bit more. Once the 5 minutes is over, the person who's been listening asks questions that bear no relation to what's been said. And the questions that they ask are clearing questions. So they're questions that are really benign and have nothing to do with anything much, like when you look out the window, name three things that you see. What are you wearing on your feet? What did you eat for your breakfast this morning? What colour are your... I'm thinking, you know, what colour is the floor beneath your feet? Like, just really, really simple questions that are very basic, that take the person away from whatever story they were in. And then once those questions have been answered, the other person speaks for 5 minutes, and then the clearing questions happen again. So it's a really simple process, and it involves getting the opportunity to be heard and to speak. So it's really lovely, and you get the opportunity to practice your listening skills and practice actually speaking uninterrupted.
And we'll talk in a little bit about how you can use this shared listen within a circle context. But before we do that, we thought it would be nice just to share a story each about how we use listening partnerships to give you an idea of how it can work. So, for example, one of the shared listens I've done on a regular basis was with another lady. We'd been on a course together, and we decided we would meet every Tuesday morning and talk about cycle awareness, menstrual cycle awareness, and just where we were in our cycle, how we were feeling. And we started with 10 minutes each. And one of us would speak first, we'd swap over, the other person would speak for 10 minutes, and then we'd say thank you very much and get on with our day. So it didn't drift into sort of chitter chatter and a more social bit. So it was easy to get onto your next appointment or whatever you needed to do. And I learned so much through that. We did it for 4 years. And I learned a lot about my own cycle. There's something about speaking out loud, which is different from journaling or other ways that you might chart your cycle. And I learned so much from her, because I could tell from how her voice sounded a bit different over the month, the kind of things that she would talk about would change. So at certain parts of the cycle, it'd be very detailed. Other parts of the cycle, she'd be kind of pulling back and looking at the big picture. And I loved it. I really look forward to those Tuesday mornings. Can you give an example as well, Julia?
Yeah, so the first listening partnership that I had for a really long period of time, we were both parents of reasonably young teenage girls. And we both had two girls, and we were both entrepreneurial women. And it was really great to be able to say the unsayable to each other. And we really did go there with things that we just didn't feel that we were able to say to people outside of that. And I think one of the reasons this worked really well for us was that we were not in each other's social circle at all. So anything that I said, I know wouldn't get out to anybody that I knew, and therefore couldn't hurt them. And the same with her. And not only that, but because we had so much in common, the same themes would come up. And so oftentimes she would speak and it would be almost as if I was speaking, because it was so familiar what she was talking about. And then other times she'd speak and it didn't feel familiar. And I thought, wow, I'm getting a perspective on a world that is so different to mine. So there were both of those things going on. And what really stood out for me was how amazing it was and how therapeutic I felt, you know, how much of a therapy it felt for me to listen to her. But I also remember on the odd occasion, if we didn't do it equally, if I didn't speak for the same amount of time as her or the other way around, because we might feel, oh, it feels like you're more in need than me this week. There would come up and you think, oh, you know, it really feels like you've got big stuff on. You do the speaking. Don't worry, I don't need it this week. And when we did that, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel right when I did it as a speaker, and it didn't feel right when I did it as a listener. What I loved was the reciprocity, the fact that we did it an equal amount. And actually, we found that we gave ourselves an hour when we did it. And we found that 20 minutes was a real sweet spot. It takes some working up to speak for 20 minutes. But we found that once we'd got to that point of speaking for 20 minutes, we knew what it felt like. So we tended to fill that 20 minutes quite easily because we'd practiced speaking and listening. And to listen to someone for 20 solid minutes, when do you ever get the opportunity to do that unless you're in a lecture theatre, which I haven't been in for a very, very long time?
I think that you've brought up such an important point here about the reciprocity, that we are sort of both having a go. And you also mentioned how it felt quite therapeutic. And I think this is a really beautiful thing about the shared listening and the listening partnerships, is that something special happens when you know you're going to get your chance as well, rather than a sort of paid therapy where it's one way, you're paying for that person's time to listen to you, and they'll have therapeutic skills to kind of guide you as well. But there's something about you're both in it together, you're both going to have chance to receive that deep listening, that witnessing of how you authentically are today. I think it's amazing, and it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be even, you know, 10, it could be 5 minutes each, as and when you can. It might be a one-off in a workshop. But you can tell we love it a lot. So we've used it for extended times. So Julia, I'm wondering, you know, can you say something about how you might use it in a circle situation?
The way that I love using this in a circle situation is in the beginning of a group, when you bring a group together right at the very beginning, rather than worrying about whether there'll be quieter voices or louder voices, if reasonably near the start, you give people the opportunity to talk to somebody else, probably for 5 minutes, you know, taking that really, really small amount of time, then they get the opportunity to speak and be listened to and get to know one of the other participants a little bit better. So you've already really broken the ice in a lovely way. And that means that when you come back into circle, it is much more likely that there'll be an evenness of speech between people without necessarily having to adhere to really, really strict guidelines on how long someone gets to speak.
And I think it's also really useful if you've got a big group. So you might have a lot of people who've decided to attend your circle, and it's going to be hard to give them that feeling of in-depth listening or being listened to if you go round one at a time in the circle. But if you went into pairs, you can then give people that extended listening, and everybody goes away from that circle, from that event, feeling like they've had chance to really share their experience and what's going on for them. So it's an amazing tool for different reasons. And I think what's beautiful about it is it's contained. It's like a little, you know, it's all the things that we would sort of say should happen in a circle, the confidentiality, the respect, all of those things are happening in a little scale just between those two people.
Yeah. And I think also it builds relationships quicker because you're giving each other time to really speak for a while. The depth that you go to is much deeper earlier on, which is really lovely. And I think that's why it works so well for taboo subjects too. You feel there's, you know, you're held. So it's okay to talk about something that you might not otherwise talk about in even an easier way than it would be in a talking circle that's been created for that purpose. So if we think about a world that's become lonelier, this is really a way of building relationship.
You know, and how wonderful do you feel when somebody has really listened to you? It boosts your self-confidence, your feeling of self-worth. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and we would love to hear from you. So do you do anything like shared listening or a listening partnership? Have you got another way of deep listening that you really love?
And we include it in all of our trainings. So we very much hope that you'll join us soon for something and we can get to listen to you.
You've been listening to the Circle Holding Podcast. I've been Tessa Venuti Sanderson.
And I've been Julia Davis. We would love for you to rate and review this podcast. A 5-star rating means more people will find us.
We're the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
Thank you for joining us today.
You can find our trainings at circleholding.org. We hope that you find a community where you can be authentically you very soon.